And welcome to Muddy River News this week. I'm Bob Goff. My guests today are Chuck Bevelheimer and Jason Parrott with the City of Quincy. Chuck is the city planner, and Jason is the humble assistant. Is that a good way to put
That's
it?
That's a good way to put it.
He is a very humble guy. So we are talking about tax increment financing, and before you cross your eyes and nod off, it is a very important topic, and there are a lot of different ways to look at it. The city has been using tax increment financing for years now, and they are looking to establish another district, and recently a public hearing was held about that, and I had a chance to go back and take a look at that, and you had several people speak toward it. No one appears to have publicly opposed it, so do you feel pretty good about making the final presentation to the aldermen?
I think after the public meetings we've had, the Joint Review Board support of it, Chamber of Commerce, the GRIF, the district all passing resolutions supporting it, and the 18 people who spoke at the public hearing last week in favor of it with no opposition, I feel comfortable moving it forward. Obviously, I know there are some aldermen who have told us they don't support it, so I'm concerned about that. So, but I think we're prepared to present it to the council next week.
And, of course, this does have to be approved by the by this full city council. And this, again, we said this was the third tax increment financing district that the city would implement, although some of the aldermen have said, if you want this one, we have to get rid of one. Hasn't that been some of their, not all of them, but some of them?
That has been repeatedly said, and it's more of a case of it would be their own preference, not any type of requirement, because communities can have multiple tax increment finance district. So that would be, if they were choosing to do that, it's more on their own preference. And the impact of that would be the revenue that's generated. Let's say it's TIF West. You're talking more than $600,000 a year that could go toward infrastructure and stuff would not be available for the city council to use anymore.
Yeah, because the city of Chicago has gazillions of TIF districts. So, again, give me the we're going to have all the information about what a TIF is and all that stuff. The nuts and bolts will be linked in a PDF directly under this interview. But just for purposes, just give the thumbnail description of what a TIF is.
So the easiest way to describe a TIF district, it's an economic development tool. If a TIF district is created, the property tax level for each of the properties is set at that level. All the taxing bodies will continue to receive taxes generated at those property values. As the properties grow in value, the increment, the taxes that those increases are generating, those dollars are collected. They could go toward infrastructure. They could go toward development agreements with businesses and such to improve infrastructure at their properties. So that's really the better the area does as far as equalized assessed value goes, the better the TIF can go.
So the concept is that you take that TIF increment that you capture every year and put it back and invest it back into that area. So you can't spend it anywhere but that area. So the hope is, and I think it's proven in both two TIF districts we have, TIF East and TIF West, with the increase in EAV that's occurred over the years, that that has been successful and that we've been able to incur a significant amount of infrastructure projects, something in the neighborhood of $17 million that has obviously made a huge investment. We put a lot of money into upper story redevelopment, which has spurred more economic development. The EAV has grown substantial from approximately 5.1 million to something in the neighborhood of 14 million. So we managed to grow the EAV, which is the goal of TIF districts. And when we look at the TIF South, we look at the vacancy rate, we look at the deterioration of the buildings, we look at the condition of the infrastructure. We see that as a that the TIF district would do well to improve that area. That it's a perfect location to establish a TIF district. It's only 130 parcel, so it's not a large TIF district. It's the state and eighth area, and we think that it's necessary to make that area grow.
EAV, again, that's equalized assessed valuation. So when you get your property tax bill and it says it's $2,000 one year and it's $2,100 the next year, but all the taxing bodies say, we didn't raise your taxes, the value of the property is what raises that, correct?
Absolutely. Correct.
And even with or without tax increment financing, Is it fair to say the value of those properties are going to go up anyway? Because I sure don't see our EAVs dropping in any area of the city or county.
Yeah, I would say that this area, if you look at the state and eighth area, you'd say that the EAV has been generally either the increment is very increase in EAV has been very slow or stagnant. Mm-hmm. A number of the properties it has declined. But as we've determined based on the amount of vacancy, the condition of the buildings, and the condition of the infrastructure, that certainly it warrants being identified as a conservation area under the TIF Act. And that's what we're basically telling folks, that that's how it qualifies under the statute.
And what you would hope to see is the higher increases.
Sure. I mean,
like you mentioned, you've got the steady that you're seeing every year because of just values and such. What you're wanting to see in that TIF area is with the investment that the spike is bigger, and you're starting to see the separation between what the tax rate was and what it's becoming grow increase more because of that development. So while there is steady, smaller growth, you want to see those numbers starting to spike up, and that's where the TIF could come in.
And again, like you said, there's no unless it's whatever the alderman's preference is to keep cap it at 2 or what have you, like you said, there's no limit. You know, there's obviously need in other parts of town, like the Northwest Quadrant or whatever, who could use one. And if somebody came up with a proposal or some opportunities to say, hey, let's create one here, that would be something you would, I mean, obviously you still have to take it to the council, but that'd be something you guys would still listen to.
We would obviously look at that. If it makes sense for the area, why would we not? I think it's important to understand, at least with the two TIFs that we have now, is we have conversations and discussions with a number of developers who are looking at projects. So there are, what I'm going to say, projects that are in the pipe that you would be basically shutting down those opportunities going forward. Certainly the amount of infrastructure investment that's still necessary within the existing two TIF districts, I think the number that I saw from engineering is something like $15 million worth of street work, another $3 million worth of parking lot improvements that are necessary. So there's a lot of need that still exists within the existing TIF. Even though we spent the $17 million, we've got about, I'd say, 60-70% of the way through the downtown in terms of doing the type of improvements that are necessary. So I would hate to see the council, and of course the debate we had last week about the amount of street work that is necessary at the council level and what they want, where their priorities are. It seems to me that you'd be cutting your nose off to spite your face to cut the two TIFs or reduce one of the TIFs when you have the amount of infrastructure work that's necessary in the downtown with all the other work that needs to be done throughout the city. Of the 200 miles of roads, I think 20% are in good condition. So why would you not utilize that resource to at least focus in the targeted area that the TIF would allow?
The discussion that Chuck's talking about responded was out of the roundabout discussion last week. And we're not talking about roundabouts here. Even though Chuck tried to trick me into it, we're still not. So you talk about some of the other needs. One of the TIFs can obviously be used for parking. And the parking lot that is directly to the south of the Croc is one that is being considered, right? Or is that in the pipeline already?
That is in the engineering pipeline.
Okay.
We're going to invest engineering to take a look at that and start the design work.
But I want to be clear that while, some people, and a lot of TIF work was done in order to entice the Croc Center to be built in the first place, right?
Yes, it was.
So, but that parking lot, people are like, well, that's a Croc parking lot. Well, it's really not. A ton of county employees park there. I know that's one thing. And then, from some of the other firms that are downtown, I know they also utilize that too. So no confusion. That is not a Croc Center parking lot. But some of their employees, I'm sure, do use it too. But again, we have a lot of county employees who also use it because the county, obviously, with the building of the jail. And I know parking was moved there a lot. But then when the police department went there, they needed even more parking at the courthouse as well. So I said, the TIF funds can be used for multiple things. One thing that when I was doing my research, because I've done, again, you're doing this job as long as I've done it, I've been through all the iterations of TIF and what they can and can't do, and sometimes my eyes get a little blurry over it. But I had forgotten that you can actually use it for property acquisition as well, correct?
Correct. We were involved when the health department moved out of the, when the health department moved into the old Blue Coach food property. We were working, TIF dollars were used to help acquire that property to help the county health department identify that site, locate that site, and that was all part of the effort to get Terry Trader into the old Geise Buick, and that was a sort of us putting a bunch of playing cards on a table and moving around to make it all work. But TIF was instrumental in that acquisition to get that to work for the county.
And as part of that, when you look at you mentioned that part of town, is that considered TIF 1 or TIF 2?
That's TIF 1.
That's TIF 1. TIF West, yeah. And TIF, so that's TIF West, and then the original TIF, what are those boundaries?
The original TIF, you're talking about back in the day when Peter Avenue set it up for the Holiday Inn?
Yes.
That goes back to the early 90s, or early 80s, and that was just the Holiday Inn, and then the parking lot H just to the north right before you get to the Lincoln Douglas facility.
Okay.
So it's like three blocks there, but it's basically the Holiday Inn, or not the Holiday Inn.
TIF West basically surrounds that one.
Okay.
So
as we're, but where we're located, like 6th Street, is that, which one is that considered again?
6 would be, I believe, East.
Yeah,
I think 6 is in TIF East.
Yeah, I think the parking lot to the...
So TIF East would then be adjacent to TIF South, if TIF East stays intact and TIF South becomes reality, they are adjacent.
Yes.
Okay. Right now, I know you have committed dollars for multiple projects in this area. 6th Street has some TIF money in it, correct?
$1.25 million.
Yes, and then, of course, they had the federal grant. And then the corner building at 6th and Hampshire, the old bank building, that's got some
531 Hampshire.
Yes.
The old former Illinois State building. The council did commit $500,000 towards that project. We've also told the developers since then that they're going to have to come back to council to have a new discussion when they decide to move forward with that project.
Why is that?
Well, because...
Time lapse?
Well, in essence, the time that took between when we agreed to do it, it's been over 2 years, well over 2 years.
Right.
So we said, look, we have to commit those dollars to other projects, and which we did. We committed those dollars to the area, the 8th and Jersey area, when those new apartments, townhouses got built.
Right.
That $500,000 went towards that sewer and water work.
So when talking about TIF East and TIF South, then if TIF South gets approved and the aldermen don't get get TIF East or one of the other TIFs kiboshed, if we have three TIFs at one point and those two are adjacent, you can move money from TIF East to TIF South, correct?
Yes, a good example of that could be where you have the downtown rental rehab program, which is leading to the upper story, that could be opened up and into TIF South, because there would be revenue available for that. So you could see a property owner in TIF South sign up for that program, even though the TIF is just starting and they haven't generated the increment, those dollars would be available through the other TIFs to have a project like that go ahead.
That term, I believe, is called porting, if I was looking at my research and such. So say for example, and we don't know this is happening one way or the other, say, for example, the Illinois State Bank project ends up saying, never mind, or whatever, and we don't know that yet. Could those funds be available to go to TIF South?
Well, what we've told folks in the TIF
South, everything happens that we're talking about.
If everything happens, and there's a big project in TIF South, and certainly you could look at using your TIF dollars in any one of the TIF districts, from any one of the TIF districts for a current project. What we've told the TIF South folks, the property owners, is don't expect that type of infrastructure improvements right away.
Sure.
You got to grow your increment. And the way to grow your increment is for the city to seed the increment growth through the DDRP, the Downtown Rental Rehab Program. Let's get some private investment to get some apartment renovated, get some upper floor redevelopment occurring in that area so that the increment's growing so we can start generating some revenue to look at infrastructure improvements down the road. Because certainly we think that the state and 8th area is ripe for that type of improvements based on the condition of the infrastructure.
And some improvement has already taken place there. I mean, the state is the old State Theater now. They've done a lot of work there with Calftown Cafe. Of course, we had the building that Andy Cayley owned, and then, you know, he had the fire, and now he's trying to, you know, get that thing still keep that viable. So there's some work that's kind of already been, you know, in the process. And of course, we have the work that's been done at Dick Brothers and the Ratzkeller too. One more time about you mentioned the 8th and Jersey townhouses. The TIF there was used for the infrastructure around it, correct?
Right, and that's a key element, because if you look at your IML information, you can't use it for new construction.
Right.
And so we've been very careful with using TIF dollars for the appropriate eligible uses. In this case, they basically told us, look, we'd like to do this, you know, $7.5 million development, but we're not connecting to the old water and sewer lines because they're 100 years old.
Sure.
So we made the commitment of TIF dollars to do the infrastructure improvements so they'd support that $7.5 million investment.
So what's the timeline now to for everything to happen here?
We are looking at the first reading of several ordinances have to be approved, and we're looking at the first reading of that coming up on April 8th, second reading April 15th, third reading April 22nd. We're working with our consultant right now to determine if, because there's multiple ordinances, if we can run them at the same time, if we have to run them back to how, what the timeline for that is. But we know that the first reading of the first ordinance to get things going will be April 8th.
You got this and you got the budget. Everything's all like together. Yeah, no, yeah, that's good. You guys are the planners. I mean, come on. Throwing this, all this at the alderman. So.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we did warn the administration about the timing of this thing. But it's just the way that cards got played at the end.
I completely understand. You, gentlemen, anything else to add?
No, I think we've covered a lot of it. We've tried to do our best to get the message out there. One of the things that we really did, too, before the public hearing, we sent letters to everyone within 750 feet of the TIF.
Sure.
We sent letters to everybody in the TIF. We published twice in the WIG, and we had it on our city website to try to make sure that we reached as many people as we could to get that public hearing filled up.
I will refrain from making any joke about you know what I mean.
Yep.
All right. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you,
I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Bob.
That's all the time we have for now. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.